Thank you, sir.
Okay. My parents are in Iowa, so Jackie told me to drink some water. Sorry. Anyway, my parents are in Iowa, so my dad asked me to fill in for him today, so here we are. Good morning, everybody. It's good to see everybody here. Today, we're going to talk about the involvement of our youth and how it affects the life of the church, of the congregation, and ways that we can hopefully develop and support and encourage our youth to be participants in what the congregation is doing, what the church ought to be doing. Youth can often be looked at as only the future of the church. And this is true because someday they will become the future of the church. They will, the older generation will be gone. The new generation will be, I guess, teaching the generation below them. But they also are currently a part of the present-day church. And it can be easy to perpetually be preparing them for the future and sort of neglect the service that they could be doing today and the strength of their youth. And don't misunderstand me. I mean, it is important to prepare them for the future, but it's also important to let them play the role that they should be playing now and be active participants in serving God with us. And what better way to prepare the future generation than to have them side by side with us serving God, kind of like an apprentice would be in any of the skilled trades like plumbing and stuff. A lot of times when they're learning, they're on the job working with somebody more experienced, but they're actually working. They're not just sitting in a classroom. I'm reminded of a poster that used to be in one of my classrooms, and I don't remember if it was elementary school or high school, I don't know. But it reads, tell me and I'll forget, teach me and I'll remember, involve me and I'll learn. And when I was putting the slides together, I realized that people are attributing it to Ben Franklin, which I didn't remember that being on the poster, but anyway. We seem to live in a world where the capability of the younger generation is underestimated, by both the older generation and even themselves. I remember I was listening to a podcast probably a few months back, and I can't remember the lady's name or even what show it was on, but she was discussing kind of the same idea. She discussed her concern as the new workers were coming in. I think she worked in some kind of research environment. But she was concerned that they seemed to lack the confidence to make some of the important decisions that they should have been making. And she kind of compared it to her generation, which would have been the generation before them, when they were in high school doing internships for the same kind of thing. At that point, they were making more, more important or more consequential decisions. And these people who were past their internship stage in the generation below her seemed to not have that same confidence that the people before them had. There's a picture of a nervous lady researching or something. But they were afraid to kind of carry on what the older generation had done. They wanted to talk about their feelings and how they were more affected by the outside world than what their actual work was. It was kind of what I got out of what she was talking about. And what we see is childhood and adolescence seems to be expanding further and further into what really should be the early stages of adulthood. As youth are slowly putting off fulfilling their traditional roles. And then there are some papers that I kind of skimmed over that go over this. A lot of people saying 25 is the new 18. Childhood is lasting that much longer. But we can see throughout Scripture that often there was an important role that was fulfilled by the youth of the time. And I don't believe this has changed. We have the example of David, and I know I used him last time I spoke, but here it is again. In 1 Samuel 17, we'll look at verses 33 through 37. And it goes like this. Then Saul said to David, "You are not able to go against the Philistine to fight with him, for you are but a youth, while he has been a warrior from his youth." But David said to Saul, "Your servant was tending his father's sheep when a lion or a bear came and took a lamb from the flock. I went out after him and attacked him and rescued it from his mouth. And when he rose up against me, I seized him by his beard and struck him and killed him. Your servant has killed both the lion and the bear, and this uncircumcised Philistine will be like one of them, since he has taunted the armies of the living God." And David said, "The Lord who delivered me from the paw of the lion and from the paw of the bear, he will deliver me from the hand of this Philistine." And Saul said to David, "Go, and may the Lord be with you." Here we see an account of David while he was still in his youth. And one estimation I saw put him in the range of 13 to 15, but of course that's going to be speculation. But there are a lot of places that said for sure less than 16. Some places say older, but we're not given a number. But let's just go with the 16 years old. Despite his youth and inexperience in battle, he volunteered to fight Goliath when the experienced warriors wouldn't. They cowered in fear. That's in, I think, verse 11 of that same chapter. We are shown that youth can have a boldness, and that was a topic I covered last time with the same story, and that they can also bring a new perspective that can inspire and even renew those around them. And we see later in verses 51 and 52, it reads, "Then David ran and stood over the Philistine and took his sword and drew it out of the sheath and killed him and cut off his head with it. When the Philistines saw that their champion was dead, they fled. The men of Israel and Judah arose and shouted and pursued the Philistines as far as the valley of the gates of Ekron, and the slain Philistines lay along the way to Shaarim, even to Gath and Ekron. The sons of Israel returned from chasing the Philistines and plundered their camps." Oops, that's not time for that. And that was quite a transition from the scared warriors to the verses we just read. And the only difference was that the youth, David, stepped up to a challenge and he succeeded. And that inspired the people. It renewed their confidence in God or in themselves, that they could accomplish what they were trying to do. Then we also have, now it's time for that one. We also have Jeremiah, an AI version of him. And we'll read from chapter 1, verses 4 through 8. It says, "Now the word of the Lord came to me, saying, 'Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. And before you were born, I consecrated you. I have appointed you a prophet to the nations.' Then I said, 'Alas, Lord God, behold, I do not know how to speak, because I am a youth.' But the Lord said to me, 'Do not say I am a youth, because everywhere I send you, you shall go, and all that I command you, you shall speak. Do not be afraid of them, for I am with you to deliver you, declares the Lord.' And while he was young," and again, I looked up some estimates of what people kind of guessed his age would have been. A lot of people are saying he probably would have been around 17 years old when God called him. And it's an easy thing to forget. I always picture, when I hear Jeremiah, I picture somebody like this. When in reality, when he was called, maybe more like this. Not much younger than some of the kids here. But God chose him to deliver messages, some of judgment, some of hope, to his people, and he was met with opposition, and he suffered for giving those messages, but he still faithfully proclaimed the word of God. And let's look at Timothy. I saw some estimation of his age being 16 to 24 when he joined Paul. Compared to the other ones, this one had a lot of variation in the age. But there was a lot of variation, but a lot of them put it at the 16 to 24, but who knows. But anyway, let's look at 1 Timothy 4:12. It says, "Let no one look down on your youthfulness, but rather in speech, conduct, love, faith, and purity, show yourself an example of those who believe." So at least in Paul's eyes, he was still a youth. And this is where we can see that youth aren't just the future, but they ought to be the present-day examples. And in Paul's letter to him, we can see the different responsibilities that were entrusted to Timothy, which in the end he was able to handle. He was to teach the truth of the gospel, opposing false teaching. Paul also gave him criteria for that should be met by the different leadership of the church. He was also given instruction on dealing with elders, widows, and even some of the younger people. And the list goes on. But the point is that Paul put trust in Timothy to move forward the will of God, even though he saw him as a youth. But is this a concept that we still utilize? Are we relying on our youth? I keep looking at those three, even though they're over there too. But are we relying on our youth to be serving? Another example we have is Mary, an AI version. Mary was a young girl, and the estimations that I saw when the angel spoke to her, a lot of people are saying 14 to 16, when she was chosen to be the mother of Jesus. And in these times, this was a normal age for marriage and stuff. I think my grandma was 16 when she got married, if I remember right. Wherever Gigi is, she'd probably know better than me. But that's what I remember anyway. Where was I? Oh, and then Mary's response in Luke 1:38 was, "I am the Lord's servant. May your word to me be fulfilled." Just at a young age, accomplished big things. With Samuel, one estimation I saw was that he was 12 when God called him out, as he was serving under Eli. Accurate? I don't know. But he was a boy. And I saw it estimated that Joseph was 17 when he was sold into slavery, and then he was already having dreams at that point. Maybe not understanding them, but having them. And I also read that it was estimated that he was around 30 by the time he gained authority in Egypt, and then there's everything that happened in between there. We also have Josiah, who was 8 when he became king of Judah. And if you read his story, he began to seek the God of David, his father or forefather, and it would have been at the age of 16. So at the age of 16, he's ruling and trying to follow God. And by 20, he started purging Judah of idolatry. And at 26, he led a national revival after the book of law was discovered during renovations that were going on. And you can read about him in 2 Chronicles 34. It's a pretty short read. And I'm sure there's others as well. But these passages show that God does not see youth as a weakness or a limitation, and rightly so, because in all these cases, there was a willingness to serve, there was an ability to serve, a desire to serve, and they succeeded in what they were supposed to be doing. And maybe the church ought to treat its youth in the same manner, realizing what their potential can be. We should sometimes see the youth as our colleagues in Christianity, and not just a project to be managed. The youth involvement in church is important because it can bring a renewed energy and enthusiasm, kind of like we saw with the example of David, the attitude of the armies of the Israel after he did what he did. And I'm kind of reminded of Ecclesiastes 12:1, and it says, "Remember also your Creator in the days of your youth, before the evil days come and the years draw near, when you will say, 'I have no delight in them.'" It's a reminder that youth is a critical time in life, and if possible, that's the best time to develop a relationship with God, a working relationship with God. While your body still works, your eyes still work, you can still hear. I work with my dad, and his knees are getting old, so he has trouble with that. So there are things that I can just do better than him because he's getting old. In October last year, I went with Jackie to a Bob Dylan concert in Chicago. I had to bring him up. And don't get me wrong, it was a fun concert, and it was good to watch him perform. And he still sells out his shows, but at this point, he was already 82, and not exactly a youth anymore. He sounded a bit different than the Bob Dylan of the 60s that I was more accustomed to hearing on my Spotify playlist. The point again that youthfulness has its advantages and it shouldn't be wasted. His voice was pretty coarse at that point, but it was still fun to listen to. Anyway, youth can also bring a fresh perspective to a congregation. They can bring modernization and new ideas to offer new solutions to the problems that we have, whether they're old problems or new problems. It gives us more eyes looking at it from a different point of view and a fresher point of view. In Job 32, we can read Elihu's speech to Job. Verses 1 through 9 go like this. "Then these three men ceased answering Job because he was righteous in his own eyes. But the anger of Elihu, the son of Barachel, the Buzite, of the family of Ram, burned. Against Job his anger burned because he justified himself before God. And his anger burned against his three friends because they had found no answer and yet had condemned Job. Now Elihu had waited to speak to Job because they were years older than he. And when Elihu saw that there was no answer in the mouth of the three men, his anger burned. So Elihu, the son of Barachel the Buzite, spoke out and said, 'I am young in years, and you are old. Therefore, I was shy and afraid to tell you what I think. I thought age should speak, and increased years should teach wisdom. But it is a spirit in man, and the breath of the Almighty gives them understanding. The abundant in years may not be wise, nor may elders understand justice.' And he," Elihu, "was the only one of Job's friends that was not rebuked by God in his response later in chapter 42, verses 7 through 9. And it reads, 'It came about after the Lord had spoken these words to Job that the Lord said to Eliphaz the Temanite, 'My wrath is kindled against you and against your two friends, because you have not spoken of me what is right, as my servant Job has. Now therefore, take yourselves 7 bulls and 7 rams and go to my servant Job and offer up a burnt offering for yourselves, and my servant Job will pray for you. For I will accept him so that I may not do with you according to your folly, because you have not spoken of me what is right, as my servant Job has.' So Eliphaz the Temanite, Bildad the Shuhite, and Zophar the Naamathite went and did as the Lord told them, and the Lord accepted Job." And even though Elihu was younger than the other three talking to Job, his insight, for whatever reason, seemed to be better. He seemed to have a better outlook. Maybe he understood things better. Or at least he wasn't rebuked by God where the other three were. And of course, youth involvement in the church is important because they will indeed become the future of the church. Proverbs 22:6 reads, "Train up a child in the way he should go. Even when he is old, he will not depart from it." When we involve the youth with the things that the church is doing, we prepare them for the leadership role that they'll be taking on to serve the next generation of believers. And one role that the aging generation should play is to encourage the youth's involvement, because youth today, and I suppose it's always the case, but they face unique challenges in connecting and staying involved with the church. They're just like us. They're trying to balance their everyday life and their faith, and they have just distractions of technology, probably worse than we do. That seems to be an increasing thing. They have the draws of social media, again, probably more than we do, because now there's a thousand apps of different types of social media that they use, and they're always connected. They never have their maybe quiet time or alone time. And with a society that seems to be decreasing in righteousness, there can be an increasingly strong force trying to pull the youth away from their faith, whether it be from schools, different educational institutes, or different places you may learn online, podcasts or educational videos that maybe contradict what we learn in the Bible, the different concepts of the different ideas. But there may be a stronger pull for them than what we had, or maybe it's the same. Schedules seem like they're getting busier and busier, possibly to the point where the youth are being deprived of time that should be spent serving God or building character, however you want to look at that. And let's not forget, just like us, they've got their peer pressure and the different temptations of life. But there are several ways that we can encourage and support the roles that the youth should be playing within the church. They can participate in real and meaningful ministry, things like serving on committees, see what ideas they have, participating in the worship service, planning outreach events, especially if you're trying to target youth. It makes sense to have the youth help. I don't know if...
Yeah, you can read that.
Here's some of the Gen Z and... Who comes after Gen Z? I don't know my generations. But their age and their age. So some of the words that they use, cap, no cap. I don't know, does Rick, Floyd, Brian, do they know what that means? So we can use them as native speakers, I guess. Stuff that makes sense to them isn't going to make sense to us. And that's how every generation is. And I don't know if they even know all these, but that was a list that was there online. We can develop mentor-disciple relationships or build other intergenerational activities that the whole congregation can take part in to kind of tighten up the knit. We can make a place where the youth can ask questions about things they don't necessarily understand, or even to express doubts that they have without feeling judged or in a judgment-free context, I suppose, whether it be through like question and answer sessions or even directed Bible studies on some of the more difficult topics. We can create and be part of an authentic community, a community that desires to meet, whether it be in church or extracurricular. And by that I mean in our day-to-day lives. Are we seeing each other? Or do we just see each other at church and church events? And I'm not trying to force a distinction between everyday life and church life, because I don't know that there should be. But we should recognize as well as value the contributions of the youth within the church. Celebrating their achievements and acknowledging their efforts so they know their voice and perspectives are heard. Young people's involvement in church isn't just a good thing. It's a necessary idea that was happening throughout the Bible. Joel 2:28 states, "It will come about after this that I will pour out my spirit on all mankind, and your sons and daughters will prophesy, your old men will dream dreams, and young men will see visions." God has a role for all of us, regardless of our age, in fulfilling what his purpose is. And we can help by creating an environment that encourages our own youth to be active participants in what the church is doing, and eventually members of the body of Christ that we see in 1 Corinthians 12. And then this will help ensure that the church or its congregation remains healthy and renewed, dynamic. It doesn't just stagnate. And I don't want you to misunderstand either. I don't bring this message just to be critical, because I think we're failing at this or something. But it's just kind of a reminder, because it seems like a lot of churches, the youth are in decline. There's fewer and fewer people going to church. But to me, our youth appears to be developing into a more active group. And it's a good thing to see. And it's surprising sometimes. We've had several baptisms over the last few years, and hopefully more coming up. The youth were encouraged for this past summer to attend some of the camps that were going on around the country, and a lot of them did. In fact, a lot of them went to multiple camps. In fact, there's a few of them finishing up a camp or a conference in Iowa right now. I've noticed we've got the sign up for the camp coming up. I noticed a few of them have signed up for some of the classes. You can ask them why. Maybe they got in trouble, or maybe they didn't want to sit through another class, or maybe they want to serve. But look who it is, and you can ask them. Some have expressed interest in forming a Bible quizzing team. Shout out to Carter. Some have even delivered some of the Sunday sermons. We've had Carter give some. Elijah gave one or two, I don't remember. And this is a good thing, and it's encouraging. We should feel encouraged when we see the youth actively taking a role in something that's meaningful, not just, like I mentioned before, not just being a project that we have to manage and just kind of on the side, but actually stepping up in service to God. It's good and encouraging, and hopefully with everybody's help, my help, your help, their help, we can continue to with this positive growth in the congregation and in the church and outward, and also in the development of the community of our congregation. And that's what I have. Thank you. Where's Jackie? You're hiding. Jackie's got the last song.